My favorite thing, off a plane, especially when I'm like really tired, is like, I don't take my headphones off when we're all getting off the plane, and I just like sit there with like just like a dead look on my face, and I wait till I get all the way off the plane, and I go to some random chair, like take off my headphones, actually.
And break
like,
yours.
Yeah. Ah, finally. Oh my God.
Stretch my face.
We were in high school. Father Stretch My Face, part one, Kanye West. Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and guten tag to Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and agro-tourist, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin Janes, salesman.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Oh, Jim. I thought you were a Moe's. Does Moe's have nightmares? Oh, yes. Ever since the storm.
Every week.
And just as you have planted your seed in the ground, I am going to plant my seed in you.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. But first, this week, Cryman Squad, FNC, double time.
Yeah, obviously, everyone is still kind of dealing with the effects of coronavirus. And because we're recording ahead of time, because things can change really quickly, we're not really going to talk about that much at all. Yeah. And probably moving forward, just because...
We did last week.
Yeah, exactly. And already, it feels like that was forever ago. So,
sure.
Let's just jump right into it. What are we talking about this week?
And this show's just for fun anyway.
That's true, yeah. Hang out with us. Don't think about it for a little while. It's like watching The Office.
That's right. So this week, everyone's been doing these. Everyone's been sending us these Office brackets, like this March Madness bracket where you pick episodes. It's you can find it by Googling hashtag Office15 bracket, and you can do it yourself. It's a lot of fun.
I think the Office official like Twitter posted
it was. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to find because there's so many brackets out there. But hashtag Office15, it was for their 15th anniversary. And then... we're going to do that together.
We
got some trivia sent in by a listener.
Teaser for this trivia.
Yeah.
We have a capital T, capital O, the other Edwin, who did trivia before. Mm-hmm. He came back. He reloaded his revolvers, and he went back to the OK Corral to have a little gunfight.
It's going to be really hard.
So stay tuned for that later. We're going to,
Great. Well, but this week's topic, Shroot Farms.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of, I guess, going along with our geographical category of episodes.
This one kind of started with us wanting to talk a little bit about The Farm, which is an episode in season 9 that was a potential pilot for a potential spin, or it was the pilot for a potential spinoff of The Office, starring Dwight running Shroot Farms with his family. It's a very unique episode of the show, and we decided, why don't we expand it and talk about what Shroot Farms is to The Office, what it means to The Office, and all the different points where we get to see Dwight's other world that he lives and operates. Yeah.
Right. We do episodes about full seasons, episodes, characters, and now we've been doing places. We did the annex. Now this episode, we're getting outside of the office.
And a fitting episode for these times. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Shroot Farms to quarantine yourself in a self-sustaining? You got all the beats you need for years and years. Dwight's got his fallout shelter full of okra and dried milk.
Yeah, but help him restore that car in the slaughterhouse. It's a little hobby to pass the time.
Reanimate a bull.
Yeah,
build a chair.
Drink some beet wine.
Jump cars in a motorcycle.
Yeah.
The architecture reminds one of a quaint Tuscan beet farm.
That's right.
So, I mean, I think we're going to jump all over the place. There's plenty to talk about with Shroot Farms. But, you know, there's kind of, I think there's six episodes, essentially, that we see Shroot Farms in. There's the initiation. There's money, the surplus, garden party, doomsday, and the farm. And so we'll get into all those. Did I miss any? Finale. Yeah. Of course.
And then moving on in season 9, we also go for a quick.
Moving on. That's right.
Anyway, we'll talk about all of that. I think in the early seasons.
One could argue Gettysburg as well.
A little bit.
I mean,
I know
exactly.
We do
see old pictures of the farm.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
I know what you're saying.
From the battle.
The archivist.
Yes.
Technically, yes.
DPA, Death Breaker.
That's right.
I think as the show begins and we learn about the characters, we learn that there's this other side to Dwight, that he owns and operates a beet farm in Scranton, Pennsylvania with his cousin Moe's. And, you know, it just kind of contributes to the general sort of strangeness that is Dwight, combined with the fact that he takes everything so seriously and is so committed. Rainn Wilson plays the part so well.
Yeah.
To see Shroot Farms kind of grow and develop, it almost mirrors a little bit in the way The Office itself goes from being a show that is very serious and very mundane to a show that's a little bit wilder, a little sillier, a little crazier.
Yeah, there's just something about, too, I think we've, I mean, you know, we get to see the farm in the initiation, but Dwight just talks about it for so long. Right. And so that's so much fun when it's like there's kind of like a reveal, like where we're going to the farm. And Jim and Pam certainly feel that way by the time they go and money.
Well, it's alluded to. Dwight talks about having his own crossbow range.
Yeah. I think in season one, he talks about restoring a car in his slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. and then it's in Office Olympics that we find out that it's a beet farm. Mm-hmm. He's talking about moving in with Michael because they go to look at Michael's new condo. And he's like, you know, I have got a 60-acre beet farm mm-hmm. with a 9-bedroom farmhouse. There's just the one bathroom under the porch, though.
There's that other line. I think it might be one of the early times when he talks about Shroot Farms, where he says sometimes teenagers use it for sex.
That's right. Yeah. I think it's that.
Well, speaking of teenagers too, yeah. There's also the pizza delivery guy has been stealing. He's the guy who grows the real weed.
They grow hemp. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that guy.
That's a great little moment. Just like Dwight's place in the community. Funny because that comes up later when, like, you know, we find out his brother's a pot farmer in California.
That's right.
But yeah, what was your first impressions of Shroot Farm? I think with the initiation is the first time we sort of see it. It kind of comes out of left field, no pun intended.
Right. In initiation, which season three. Ryan is, hasn't made a sale or something like that. And so Dwight's going to take him out on a sales call. Dwight's the best salesman in the company. Mm-hmm. But of course, on the way to going out on this sales call, they take a pit stop at Shroot Farms. Ryan must overcome several obstacles and learn some lessons.
He has to vanquish fear.
Yeah, that's right. We meet Moe's. That's the first time we meet Moe's, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Dressed as fear.
What a coordinated effort by Dwight, knowing that he was going to take Ryan there, you know, making sure Moe's has his fear shirt on.
Yep.
Making sure the flow of where they're going to be. They're going to start here in the planting a seed, and then they're going to end up, he's going to walk here. They're going to end up at the farm. Quite a production there.
Yeah.
By Dwight.
And also, I do love just how big Shroot Farms is. They can they play with that a lot, and we'll get into that. But it's like, you know, they're out in the beet fields and then they're inside of the barn. And that we don't even get into the farmhouse.
It doesn't scratch the surface of, the geography of Shroot Farms and everything that can potentially take place there. You think about the seesaw that we see later on.
Yeah.
We think about, I think
it's a... Seesaw with...
Moe's and I seesaw all the time. There's a talking head. I think it's a blooper for sure, but I don't know if it's actually in the show where Dwight says, if I thought that I was creating life capable of my own destruction... I would have thought you were talking about the bull Moe's and I are trying to reanimate. Right? And Shroot Farms is the canvas for jokes like that, for moments like that. So,
oh my gosh, think of all the projects that Dwight is working on, like a mad scientist.
Exactly.
At Shroot Farms, he's restoring the car and an old train engine in his slaughterhouse. He tells Toby that at one point. You're into trains?
When they... What a fun little kinship moment between Dwight and Toby. Yeah. odd pairing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when they're trying to catch Daryl.
Yeah.
Staying homesick.
But to bring it back to initiation...
That's a drop I got to make. Yeah.
When you talk about coordinated effort, you know, it ends with Dwight saying, Ryan, just get in the coffin.
Yeah.
And then he looks over at Moe's after Ryan leaves, and Moe says, he seemed nice. Yeah. And Dwight looks at him and says, where are all the animals?
I love that line so much. That's such a, like, I love that line. There's another line that reminds me of, and it's when, it's when Angela's, like, doing a talking head, and at the end of it, she's just like, are there flies in here?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, something so
it's
funny.
It's like they leave the camera running. Yeah.
Where are all the animals? I was going to say, also, Dwight is working on the machine that takes meat from a horse without killing it. Yeah. I can't remember what he calls
it. Oh, God.
If he has a name for
That's
it
right.
at all.
Horse boat.
Why do you think the writers chose beets? Of anything that Dwight could have been a farmer of.
It's perfect. I think it's, I mean, it's, I think a lot of people don't like beets. I personally love them.
I'm sure.
I don't like beets.
Really?
I hate beets. Yeah, I don't like eating dirt.
Here in Portland.
No, yeah. Hey, man, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that you also felt this way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't stand them.
Oh, hey. I like that. Earth, I like that earthy. Oh, gosh.
We need sanitizer. No thanks.
Dude, I love them. Here in Portland, there's a restaurant called Trinket on Cesar Chavez.
They
do
borscht.
I do love borscht. But they do a beet Bloody Mary. It's
get
so
out of here,
good.
Dude. No thanks.
Love it.
Ugh. It's kind. You know what? I think the thing about beets is probably a lot like Dwight in real life. If we actually met Dwight, mm-hmm. just like not for everyone.
Yeah.
If you like him, you really like him.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Most people are just like it's just like a hard yes or no. Like I hate Dwight. Don't like him.
There is something inherently funny about beets. They
sound funny.
They're red.
Yeah, they're beets. Red. If you eat a bunch of beets, your poop turns red. Turns your teeth red. Beets is a funny word. I think
it is.
So I don't know why they chose beets, but let's pull back on track. Talking about restaurants and borscht.
Those are the money beets.
Yeah, there you go. Do you want to move on to money, the episode?
Yeah.
Do I ever? I always want to move on to money.
Yeah, I know money is Alex's favorite episode of The Office.
That is true. That is true. That might come back later on our
bracket.
And
it feels as if that's a moment where they really formally introduce Shrewd Farms into the show. As Jim and Pam are driving up, Jim says, I've heard about his beet farm for years, but I never thought I'd actually be here.
Yeah.
Or something to that extent.
Right, right.
And Pam is coming up with all the puns. Embassy Beets, the radish in.
How are you doing this?
Beets Motel.
He's like, I always thought Pam and I's first night together would be, you know, somewhere else.
Nice hotel, romantic dinner.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thought there'd be some manure.
Right.
Just less.
As they're driving up, Mose is running alongside the car.
Outpaces the car.
But yeah. Mose has Mose has a
35.
Mose has a fascination with cars that comes up in the garden party as well. They get into the farmhouse, which apparently has 9 bedrooms, but only 3 are guest rooms. You've got irrigation, nighttime, and what was it?
America.
America was the first
one. Come on now.
Pardon me.
That's a basic trivia question. disgust me.
Completely wireless at Shroop Farms. Once we find those where we've
well, hit those wires,
we'll be back up and running.
There you go.
Get that power back on.
That's right.
I love that Dwight has the guest book where he writes down mm-hmm. their needs for do you have any food allergies or dietary restrictions? Yes, we will be requiring a bedtime story.
Yeah. the little countertop that folds
out of the wall.
Yeah, that's just a nice little touch of like. And the way Dwight's personality changes when he's either at Shroop Farms or talking about it or when he's on the phone, mm-hmm. you know, we see these little bits of, and this all plays out a lot in money.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the farm. I mean, we'll get to the farm. Rewatching that episode was crazy, but
yeah.
Just the way that his competence completely changes from the office. Like, he's equally competent, it feels,
definitely.
As he is as a paper salesman, as he is like this beet farmer. And clearly he must have, like, Mose is doing the day-to-day labor around the farm, because I mean Dwight's in the office.
Mose. So another thing about Mose, there's a deleted scene of Michael talking about Mose and says like, "Oh, he's such a weirdo. 27 years old, he's never left the beet farm." Like
that's what we're led to believe.
Yeah. Ever.
Same with their the Mennonite minister. Although born only minutes from here, speaks only German. But yeah, I don't know. That's the one thing about when they introduced it in initiation and then you get to see it working in money. You're like, this would take a huge amount of work to make this farm worth growing beets and mm-hmm. being at all profitable. Mm-hmm, it'd be a really hard thing. And Dwight doesn't strike me as someone who would be burning money on a 60-acre beet farm.
No.
So clearly, I mean, Mose must be doing a lot of the work. Dwight's probably, you know, keeping track of everything else. I don't know. Who knows? I guess the point is not to figure out how Shroop Farms works, but in money, we do get to see all the wonderful things it has to offer. We see, they have a seesaw there. We know that. Of course, all the table making, all the woodworking.
And
beet wine.
But yeah, where they have that, they're just pounding the beets in what is like a giant mortar and pestle and that big wooden spoon where he tastes it. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to.
We get to see all the sets, the field, the barn, the inside of the house. There's just so much to see, and it really expands the world of The Office.
Yeah.
It's just a natural setting, too. Like, the greenery, this sort of pastoral thing. It's completely different from the beige walls of The Office.
I also have to bring up, in talking about money, there's a lot of talk about TripAdvisor. And if you go on Google and Google Shroot Farms, the first thing that comes up is the Shroot Farms TripAdvisor page.
Great reviews.
A lot.
I mean, it's a lot of fair reviews.
There's something
I'll say
like
that.
There's a lot. There's 1,200 reviews on there to peruse. It does say at the very top of the page, message from TripAdvisor. This is a fictional place as seen on NBC's The Office. Please do not try to book a visit here.
Can I just mention this part in popular mentions, like the little tags at the bottom on TripAdvisor says, irrigation room, beet wine, table making, goat, Harry Potter, borscht, indoor plumbing, bedtime story, bed and breakfast, themed rooms, Civil War, simpler times, exotic meats, fresh beets, getaway, manure, and white.
fun
to follow some of those tags through TripAdvisor, by the way.
There's also a list of activities that I think somebody else pulled off of there. I'm reading on Dunderpedia. You've got plowing fields, making tables, beet wine classes, mattress making, tour of the fields, tour of the barn, tour of the slaughterhouse, Moses table making demonstration, Dawn goose walks. As just walking with a flock of geese at dawn, I don't know. Beehive maintenance and honey harvesting.
Oh, yeah.
Beet planting. And Moses trampoline tricks.
Oh, yeah.
Cannonball, lemon bomb, go Yankees. I'm a war hero.
Go Yankees.
More spins and helicopter.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's really great.
Good stuff. Yeah, anything else for money? I mean, there's some surprising moments there with Jim and Pam and... This is, again, in the height of Dwight's sort of depression about Angela.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we see that played out where he's still putting on this brave face to, like, I am a good proprietor of this bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, I will take care of you despite going through insane personal turmoil that we then
hear
audibly later.
Dwight is all about duty. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So he...
Are you giving me manure?
Michael,
gosh,
why did you tell everyone that I use store-bought manure when I showed you where my manure comes from?
No, Mo's, put down the manure. Do not throw it.
Look, Mo's whittled this for you.
Some fatback bacon, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I think, to your point, in money... We do get to see it is undercut by the fact that Dwight is going through something emotionally. And even still, he is so committed. The commitment that he gets when he's reading the bedtime story. I love that Moses is wearing a Jurassic Park t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
and that he commits all the way through. And even at work when he's very sad, Jim and Pam leave a very positive review.
And that's enough to brighten his spirit.
Yeah. And it's a moment where it seems like Jim and Pam are going into this almost mean-spiritedly in a way to kind of, oh my gosh, can you believe we're actually at Dwight's
beef farm? They're teasing him about it.
Yeah, exactly. Or that's the way it comes off. But by the end, they turn around and Dwight says to Pam, I'm glad you had a nice time. And she says, we really did.
Yeah.
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 And I think they truly did, despite, wondering what century it was when they were there. With the door swinging open and Moses sitting in the outhouse.
Oh, God.
What century is this?
I'd say 1 in 6. What? Oh, I thought you asked what our chances are of getting murdered here.
I also love, we've talked about it before, but that part when Jim finds Dwight moaning in the middle of the night. Oh. And then he's like, Mose, is that you? Do you have another nightmare? Does Mose have nightmares? Oh, yes. Ever since the storm.
It's good stuff.
It was a nasty storm.
All-time quote.
Nasty storm at Shroot Farms. Well, I'd say that moves us into the next episode. The Surplus actually has some time spent at Shroot Farms. Andy and Angela's relationship brings them to Shroot Farms as a venue for their wedding, perhaps.
The first of several weddings.
That's right.
Yeah, this is in the moment where Andy and Angela are engaged and they're looking at wedding venues, and Angela is very picky about where she wants to get married, and so they eventually find their way to Shrewd Farms, and Dwight is going to take them through and show them what the ceremony could be like. There's a great little bit of dialogue from Andy where he says, I'm a little concerned about these directions. I mean, like, 156 paces from the light red mailbox, make a left, walk until you hear the beehive. But my biggest concern is there's only one bathroom. We'll dig a trench. As long as it's downhill from the well, we should be fine. Nan and Mimi cannot squat over some trench. Well, we're going to put out stumps. Come on.
Dwight's so consistent.
Dwight, if we pay extra, would you slaughter the animals a day later? Mm-hmm. I think what's also great about this episode is we kind of learn Angela's got this fascination with Shrewd Farms also. Yeah. She tells Andy, like, she kind of speaks about it, like, so romantically, you know, slats in the barn so that you can see the light coming through and stuff like that. So, I mean, it hasn't been explicitly said that she spends a lot of time there, but now
she's intimately familiar. Definitely. With Shrewd Farms.
And at the end, after the fake wedding that Dwight sort of engineers, right. Angela comes around where she gets the vision of her wedding, and it turns out that Dwight has staged this wedding where they're actually married, and Angela gets really upset about it.
Yep.
But she does, for a moment, say, you know, I made the wrong choice. I realize now everything looks so perfect. So clearly Angela has a connection to Shrewd Farms as well, one that comes back quite a bit in the later part of the show in season 9 when Dwight and Angela eventually get together and get married.
Right. Of course, what also happens in this episode is Andy has a lot of fun at Shrewd Farms, stepping into giant piles of manure in every place he goes.
Darn.
Why is that in the kitchen?
Darn.
Why is that in the kitchen?
Yeah.
I love that they use it. They only do it twice. It's in comedy, it's the rule of three, and that you get it once, and it's funny, and then you get the surprise, but they never go back to it.
That's
true. Leave it there. I thought
that's true.
A very deft writing
Instead,
choice.
Instead, you just get Moe's throwing a football at his head. then we don't go to Shrewd Farms again for a little while until Garden Party in season 8.
Boy, do we come back.
Andy tries to throw a garden party to impress Robert California and also his parents.
It's a low-key, like, super, super cringy episode. You know, we talked a lot about...
Oh, yeah.
We've talked a lot about, you know, how Scott's Tots, everyone is like, that's the most uncomfortable. And he's like, garden party's real tough.
It's pretty
and
bad.
And then Diwali, I still think, is the most cringy. That's a topic for another time, one. But yeah, Garden Party, the whole thing with getting his dad up to sing is really difficult to watch.
I know. I actually, in rewatching it, I like didn't really pay attention to that part. I kind of realized that I was like, I just was like,
it's really rough. Yeah.
And one of the shortest, funniest moments in the whole show was Josh Groban breaking into his real voice for that split second.
Yeah.
I love that. But yes, a lot of uncomfortable moments in this, especially with Andy talking to his dad.
Bye, Tina. Bye,
Pam. And this must be your lovely wife, Pam. Yeah. Bro-nard. Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, that episode is so much about Andy. Much more than Dwight. Of course, we still see Dwight as a 100% committed host.
Right.
He even uses a book about throwing a garden party.
Using the prank
Trickington.
Rule book, yes.
Mm-hmm. By the way, there's several office journals you can buy online where they're like, they make real book covers with just journal pages. One of them is you could buy throwing a garden party.
Oh, that's
by
awesome.
James Trickington. That's fantastic.
As a journal. They also have Somehow I Manage. Anyway.
An interesting thing from that is Robert California saying to Dwight, you should not focus on the beats, you should focus on the hosting. I would spend a large amount of money to have my birthday party here.
Why? Like, I'm not interested in goats. Why did you spend so much time explaining the goats?
I can get you exotic meats, hippo steaks, giraffe burgers.
It'll all be goats.
We'll be in touch.
And he delivers that line, they'll all be goats, looking over his shoulder backwards at the camera. Yeah. They'll all be goat.
But that's a good moment because, like, when people come to Dwight's space, he's very much in charge in a way that he's not at the office.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I can serve you goat right now and tell you it's anything and you're going to believe me. And he has this sort of, like, rural knowledge that no one else in the office has.
Mm-hmm.
And in Garden Party, you know, it's like, he throws a damn good party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, all things considered. That the fire sticks and dancing at the end.
Oh, the closing ceremonies.
He gets a whole staff. Yeah,
it's the tableaus.
Yeah, that's right.
The first moment of that where it's just him and one woman. That actress plays it so well. Yeah, like, she's so uncomfortable. Clearly acting out these weird forms.
Yeah. I hope that they didn't choreograph that ahead of time. He just started going.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about a lot of times when you get the office out of the office into uncomfortable places. Mm-hmm. And they can always, like you said, they did take a long break from Shute Farns, but it's a pretty dependable place to take the cast back, and funny things just happen when they're there.
Because
it's these, white collar workers in a very rural setting. It's always funny.
The scope is so big. Mm-hmm. Shute Farns is big enough to handle whatever you want to put there. Dwight's wedding, garden party, whatever
Evel
it is.
Evel Knievel stunt for Moe's.
Yes.
Honestly, I don't think it's like often the same field that they're going back to film. And though? Uh-huh. It seems as almost as if it's so big that we're never in the same
acres,
place twice.
Man.
Yeah.
Good chunk.
But after garden parties.
Wait. I don't want to stop talking about garden party.
Okay, sorry.
We have to talk about Moe's the valet.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, please, where he takes Toby's car.
Oh my gosh.
I'm the valet. You have to give me your car. And he gives him a nut.
Yeah.
his token to get it back. And he drives just into the field.
Yeah.
And then later he just runs across the tops of the car.
You have to give him your car.
He's dressed as the little daredevil with the bike.
Very aggressive with people, getting them in and out of the car.
Toby doesn't want him to drive the car.
The other thing that I want to talk about is at the beginning of Garden Party, where Dwight is giving everyone a view of what the map is like at Shute Farns. Mm. He's got the whiteboard.
Oh, nice.
And he's got it up like this.
Oh,
I'm just
going to
read you a couple of the details here.
Please do.
In the bottom corner, he has Shute Farms labeled with an arrow. He calls it the root vegetable district. And there are squares for parsnips, radishes, turnips, and beets. Up ahead, there's an outlet mall. And up above that, it just says unexplored. There's an X next to Outlet Mall that just says danger. There's a thing that says cemetery. There's a Route 6. There's a pond. Trail of Tears. Good sushi. Gay district. And another thing that just says danger.
Danger.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. I think there might be one more thing. No, and there's another one that just says stay away. Ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Dwight says, I've been wanting Shute Farms to break into the high-end event hosting industry for some time. And the garden party is his opportunity.
That's right.
So, did he accomplish his goal?
No.
Doomsday.
Yes.
Doomsday. We've got, we're in season 8. Dwight, of course, is very upset about Andy becoming manager. Dwight's had all these missteps lately and is feeling down. So anyways, he creates a doomsday device that after 5 mistakes, all of everyone's mean emails about Robert California will be sent to him. And we visit Shute Farms only after the doomsday device. They failed. They committed too many mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then
trigger the device.
And then they head to Shute Farms to try and win Dwight over.
5 mistakes in less than a day. You don't deserve this branch. Yeah.
Made a good point.
They send Pam, because she's always had that connection with Dwight. Plus, she's pregnant, right? Isn't that what they say? Yeah. And then Kevin has that undeniable something.
Guys.
I'm right here. Yeah. They give him that little Stop and Shop hat,
uh-huh.
or the gas station hat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They help him dig a hole. What does it look like I'm doing? I'm digging a grave for a horse.
It's always bothered me that Dwight's digging the grave for a horse alone and has 4 extra shovels standing by just in case.
Oh, you're right.
This episode, I don't know. Is there anything to really bring up that's...
I think it acknowledges that we see a different sort of interior of Shute Farms, where he says... Mm-hmm. This latest edition was built by Erasmus Shute in 1808.
That's right.
It doubled as a tuberculosis recovery room until 2009.
That's right.
200 years.
Yeah. And I think also just like Pam and Dwight's friendship at this point in the series, and like her having been there before and her being the one who kind of wins Dwight over, that's all very, it's just nice that it all happens at Shute Farms, at Dwight's Dwight's set.
Pam overwhelmingly shows emotional intelligence throughout the show, and she's able to connect with characters in a way that I think no one else in the office really is. The way she connects with Michael and Nellie, right, in the way that other characters maybe don't. And I think she connects to Dwight, especially in this moment, by not demanding something from him, by just offering friendship, by just, you know, going to him. Oh, I forgot how pretty your house is.
Yeah, right, right.
Things like that. Yeah.
That's and it's right. a funny, like, we don't go to any other characters' home nearly as much as Dwight and Shroot Farms. I mean, obviously, we see Michael's condo.
Yeah.
We see Jim and Pam's house a couple times.
A little bit.
You know, we see Angela's house. You know, we see a little bit of where people live.
Bit.
We even see Kevin's home for a sec with his dog. But, like, Shroot Farms, you know, is, like, that's where the whole cast goes there several times, you know. And it's sort of the version of, like, you have a friend with a truck. They're always going to help you move. It's like, Dwight has a lot of land, so everything group-related, you're going to go do it, Shroot Farms.
That set for Kevin's house, if you ever go back and watch it, it is a chair against a wall. We don't need anything for this joke.
It's not the joke.
Are you curious about what Dwight's cabbage pie was like?
Always.
Sounds bland.
You know what would go great with this cabbage pie is some milk. What kind of animal? Don't say cow.
Please, I love Cornell. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't have cabbage today. Well, modern cabbage.
That's good.
James, Pamela, and Pee-Pee Halpert.
I think we can move on to the farm.
Yes.
Cool.
The farm, of course, is, you know, a sort of a bottle episode, I guess, and then it all happens at the farm for the most part.
Except for a genius cold open of Dwight throwing dirt in people's faces.
Mm. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Acidic, all right.
Right.
It's acidic, all right. The way that Rainn Wilson throws the dirt is so funny. I was laughing so hard this morning rewatching this episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And the way he says, like, red, fertile soil. Or it's like black
acidic soil.
Yeah, acidic soil. Yeah. It's so good. But yeah, then it ends up with the farm. And this episode feels, looks, everything about it is different from the rest of the show. And that was intentional,
yeah,
like you said, as it's sort of used as a pilot for a potential spinoff. But so much of the time is Dwight with these people we haven't met yet, you know? And it's a super, super unique episode.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole premise or the inciting incident is the death of Aunt Shirley, who we see very briefly in the episode Moving On, which is shortly before this. And in that, we do go to Shroot Farms, and we just get that briefest.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the point is to introduce us to Aunt Shirley, not necessarily to explore the world of Shroot Farms, but another instance where that location is being utilized. But anyway, in the farm, it brings back Dwight's estranged family, his sister, his brother, his cousin, and they are tasked with running this farm if they are to inherit it. So they all get brought back together. Very unique cast. Thomas Middleditch.
Yeah.
A number of other... You know,
Badger
just,
from...
Yeah, from Breaking Bad. Yeah, they're just a very unique group that would have been brought together for this.
The actress that... I don't have her name in front of me, but the actress who plays...
Fanny.
The woman that he's interested in.
Oh, Esther Bruce.
Esther, thank you, thank you. She's in the band of Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros.
Oh, I had no
idea.
She
is the the accordionist for Edward Sharp.
Accordionist.
Yeah.
Accordionist.
Home.
Accordionist.
We go home.
It's fitting because of the way the episode closes with them all sitting on the stairs playing Sons and Daughters by the Decemberists.
Right. Well, Michael sure has a special relationship with the Decemberists, I guess.
And Rainn Wilson kind of looks like Colin Malloy a little bit, so that sort of works. They both have square faces.
That is a timestamp moment for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that
man.
Feels very 2013, right?
I think
Edward
someone
Sharp
else
too. What a rise and fall. Like, I haven't heard about them.
It's a very specific genre.
It's like 2 years.
Very, like
they were huge.
Folksy, indie rock.
Friend folk bands.
Yeah.
Big, yeah. That was
kind of back to the 60s.
A lot of the stomping, a lot of the millennial whoop. Was born
the millennial whoop.
Oh, there we
yes.
go. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yes.
Uh huh.
Of course.
But in the farm.
But in the farm. Let's go back.
We just get to see Dwight. The version of Dwight that we see in the farm is very different from the version that we see in the office.
Yes. Well, he's the leading man.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's the head of the family, the head of the farm. He's going to take a unique role with his sister and his brothers. They need him, clearly.
It's weird because he has to play the straight man a little bit.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And we're not used to seeing that. And like the whole scene where he's he's milking the goat with the boy.
Oh my gosh, that's
right. Little kid from Bridesmaids. Yeah.
Yeah. And from showing him around from the hay place.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's the same little boy. That's it's.
Hello, welcome to Hay Place, a place for hay.
There we go.
Thanks. Thanks for setting me up there.
Excuse me, get off of there. Those are show bales, not play bales.
But yeah, it's like we get this sort of serious Dwight who's in charge of this farm and sort of suddenly has this burden mm-hmm. of leading his siblings and nephews and nieces, to the promised land, inheriting a 1,600-acre farm.
Right, right.
Massive.
Yeah.
Which is bordered by his 60-acre farm. So
right,
it's like
yeah.
he's going to, tenfold increase his acreage. And it's like, man, that show would have been so different for Rainn Wilson, his like career in life, I wonder.
Oh, yeah. Big
there's,
time.
There's a great talking head from Zeke, Dwight's cousin, who mm-hmm. says, growing up with Dwight and Mose was not easy. Dwight was obviously the cool one, and Mose was the visionary, which left me to be the comedian.
And in the moment,
Mose
like
is the visionary,
in the moment when the funeral starts and they're just listing facts about Aunt Shirley,
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
the neighbor pulls up and he's like, "Did you guys get her height?" They nod, like land size, no, and he takes off his hat. He's like, she had a 1,600 acre beet farm, largest in the area.
They're descriptive people.
They're descriptive people.
That's what Oscar says.
But we see him wrestling with Jeb, when his mm-hmm. car goes right into the grave.
I love when he parks and he, look what I did.
Yeah. And immediately he's wrestling. And even when Zeke shows up and they have the moment where they both say, get in the sidecar. You get in the sidecar. And jump to the shot of them riding both on the motorcycle with an empty sidecar.
Oh my God.
It's such a good, they actually have a really good dynamic, those two.
Yes.
And obviously Thomas Middleditch went on to do big, great things, but
yeah.
it would have been a really fun character to see him sort of enter the mainstream.
Yeah.
Not so quite as neurotic of a character mm-hmm. as Richard Hendricks.
Do you guys wish that the farm got picked up?
Now I wish it was.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know where they were going with it.
Yeah.
Is kind of what I have to say about the first episode. It's just like, because like I guess that's sort of the pilot, right? Mm-hmm. So you almost consider that to be episode one.
It ends with the siblings walking down the road towards the farm with a shot behind them.
And I'm just,
it's such a like, here's the start of now they have to turn this farm into a life. Like that's what it would have been.
Yeah, like, what
workplace
what
comedy in a way.
Yeah, but what? I don't know.
I wonder how the mockumentary style would have fit.
Let me guess,
such
you don't like
setting.
It, Sean.
It doesn't really seem like, it's just like, it's just a weird family who owns a farm. I don't really, I guess it's like, Thomas Middleditch is kind of the rich guy and Dwight's the, I don't know. It didn't feel like.
Schitt's Creek is what that show is.
Yeah, but even Schitt's Creek is better. And Schitt's Creek is kind
the
of.
The farm isn't actually a show.
Yeah. Well, sure. Okay. But I mean, it's just a better like idea from the start.
Sure.
It's a better pitch. It's a really rich family now is in like, a crummy town. Or like the show Green Acres. It's a real, which is an old show.
Oh, throwing back.
Yeah. Damn, throwback.
Dude.
I mean, that's funny because like
da-da-da-da-da.
It's just all about, this wealthy socialite who decides to move to the small country and have a small farm and just, he doesn't like, that kind of like odd couple sort of thing going on between him and the small town. But you don't even have that here, really. Right. It's not going to be. Anyways, I don't know. I didn't think it was going to be a good show.
It would have taken a little bit to find itself, certainly, as most shows do. The Office, as it found itself, could so often rely on Michael Scott's talking heads to bring a lot of immediate comedy mm-hmm. and to prop up different scenarios. I wonder, because Dwight has to take everything so seriously, if we would have that sort of urgent comedic relief while the show was kind of figuring out mm-hmm. what it was going to be and what it was going to do.
That's the part that doesn't work. Dwight is funny and interesting when he is the odd duckling, but if he's the center of it and...
Yeah, him as a patriarch of the family, of like the responsible one. He's not as funny.
Yeah, I just don't think it's as funny.
And I wonder if the gimmick would have faded really fast of like, look at this funny farm stuff. They're going into town to buy yarn and it's this caricature of a farm.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like
other times they would
comedy.
Go in to buy string.
True.
Any other things to say about the farm before we move on to the finale?
This is not an actual episode where they feature, but Zeke... Moses' cousin, appears in Junior Salesman when they bring in all the other characters.
That's right.
They ask, how did everyone find out about this role? And Zeke says, well, my cousin Dwight was talking about it in the shower. And Clark says, you were in the shower or he was in the shower? And he says, we were all in the shower. It's a cow shower. Then he looks around the room like, can you believe this guy?
That's so good. The finale.
What about it?
I don't know. We're back at Shroot Farms.
I don't know, man. The finale is the big stage for what is kind of the culmination of Dwight and Angela's arc.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It provides a very, very large canvas for that. I think it's super interesting that Dwight and Angela's wedding at Shroot Farms is very different from the version that we would have seen in the barn, in the surplus.
Yes.
So I think it's a great scene. We get to, it sets the stage for Angela to get kidnapped by Mose, and for Jim and Dwight to have the Gutenprank, bestest mensch type thing.
Yep.
I think that moment where Michael comes in as the best man, as a surprise, spoiler alert. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But it's just, it really sets the stage for that kind of thing to take place.
Yeah.
For an episode that wraps up the character arcs of all the different characters, provides the right sort of moment or scenario or event for them to all be in the same place to do that.
And, and again, it's like, it's the best venue for the show to do stuff like that. It's like, you know, they could have done the, like Dwight and Angela were not going to have a wedding in the warehouse or something in the parking lot, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
How could you do it in an office related location? The only place you could have gone is Shroot Farms. So it is a perfect way to end, like you said, because it's Dwight and Angela's relationship.
True.
You know, crossing the finish line.
Very true.
And right when the show does, and it was perfect. It worked really well.
It is interesting during those scenes in the wedding how much you can see just the rolling hills behind Shroot Farms and how expansive that rural setting really is if it is that close to Scranton.
Yeah.
Or you wonder what Dwight's daily commute is like.
I was in kind of outer suburban into rural Philadelphia once for work, and like it's a lot of rolling hills, but I mean, so much of that is like old parceled out land. So there are these big tracts of old buildings and farmland that are like pretty close to the city. So I would guess Dwight's commute is, you know, in the 30 to 40 minute range.
Yeah, I truly don't know. I wonder if anyone...
I can tell you.
Oh, you can?
Oh, boy. How are you going to tell us?
Because I did want to mention that Shroot Farms is not in Scranton. It's in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Mm. And that's only because we only know that because
better agricultural taxes.
Michael holds up his Rolodex card about Dwight and it has his address on it.
What a detail.
That's great.
Yeah, nice.
It's on the TripAdvisor even that it's in Honesdale, 43 minutes from Scranton.
Oh wow, okay.
Dwight. Yeah. Putting in some miles. Well, he loves driving that car.
That Trans Am, man.
Yeah.
Hey, that was one of his rules if he was going to become manager. Getting everybody home on time.
It's crazy to think that he's commuting an hour and a half every day, working a full job at Dunder Mifflin and running the farm.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hardworking guy.
He's a hardworking guy.
To his day place. A place for day.
And he still has time
Lewis
for
calls it his date plan.
And for some reason he drives all the way back to the office for Knights of the Night meetings, which they have in the conference room.
Why
wouldn't they do that? Perfect place to train a militia out at Shroot Farms.
Maybe he's got a place to crash.
He does laser tag with his buddies too. He's probably not, you know, he's probably driving into the city for that.
You wonder what the ping pong setup is like at Shroot Farms. Given that he and Mose love to play so much.
That's the only time we see Mose leave the farm is playing ping pong with Dwight in the warehouse.
Well, and to bring the, what is it, a raccoon or
the
porcupine?
Also, I forgot about
Holly's car.
Actually, you know what? I take it back. Because, he also goes to the junior salesman that episode.
It says here you've been a rep at Dow Chemical. I've lived with you my entire life. I've never once seen you go to work. Why do you think you'd be a good salesman? People person.
People person.
Mose has a natural fear of paper, so he'd be motivated to sell as much of it as possible.
Yeah. any other closing thoughts on Shroot Farms?
No, it's just fun to examine another place, another location in the world of The Office, and to see how the characters in the show expand out into that place and how it kind of adds or changes or inflects the tone of the show. It's just, it's a fun one to dig into.
Show me that farm.
Show me that Show farm. Me that. You wonder if the when the writers initially were like having Dwight say that he's a beef farmer in conversation, yeah. if they knew it would end up there.
That it
Who
would
knows?
Go that far.
Love to know, but it really works. It's such a needed kind of respite from The Office mm-hmm. that every couple seasons they can do an episode out there. And it's I have a Shroot Farms T-shirt.
That's right.
And I really like it because it's really
got
low
a big
key.
Beat
you,
on it.
Like you kind of have to look at it and read it.
Yeah.
But The Office fans that they immediately know what it is.
Yeah.
And it's good.
I love that long sleeve that Dwight wears in Fun Run that is just spray painted almost.
Yeah.
Shroot Farms.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. all right. Well, let's move on to a little conference room.
Right now, conference room. Topic, potpourri, let's go.
So for this week's conference room, we are going to look at the bracket.
Yes.
This is a yes. little bit of a substitute for March Madness for some bracketology. And I think a very popular thing that's been circulating online, people have sent it to us, and we're really excited to go through it. So I think yep. what we'll do is we're going to go through it and we're going to kind of vote as a show about which episode we would take, and it'll lead to some fun disagreements, hopefully. I'm looking at you, again, Casual Friday. Yes.
Again, but right before we jump into this is a good time if you want to pause and get it brought up on your screen. Maybe go through it with us. Again, if you search for hashtag Office 15 bracket, you should be able to find it. It's blue. It's got the NBC logo in the bottom right-hand corner. So do you guys want to start? Just go top.
Let's
left,
do it.
Work down, and then go down the other side.
Yeah, and I think Sean, you're going to log as we go.
That's correct.
And then we'll post the one from our show as well as our individual brackets.
Yes, we've already all done this already, but yes. now we'll have to agree on it together.
And let's go through each sort of region, like you would in March Madness.
Yeah,
and
quadrant.
Just figure out we'll get to our final four, and then we'll talk.
Copy that
about what we're doing. But let's start in that top left corner.
Here we go. Dinner Party Season 4, Episode 9 versus The Client Season 2, Episode 7.
Did anyone take The Client?
No, I think Dinner Party is a clear number one seed in this
yes,
exercise.
It is Duke,
yeah.
for sure. Mm-hmm.
Booze Cruise Season 2, Episode 11 versus Casual Friday Season 5, Episode 26. Casual Friday, I had to recall, was kind of like, you know, after the Michael Scott
arc.
Yeah. What do you guys say?
I took Booze Cruise.
Booze Cruise, for sure.
Casual Friday.
Oh, really?
Whoa, 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 wow. whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, 2-1, my friend. It's Booze Cruise. Let's go. We're going.
I may defend Casual Friday for yeah. only a moment, but before we move on. I just like, when I approached this whole bracket, I kind of did favor In the Office episodes, and I just love that whole Michael Scott Paper Company arc so much. That's a great ensemble episode. Booze Cruise, obviously very funny. I just, you know, yep. it feels like a weird episode being out of the office almost the whole time.
When I was introducing this and I said, I'm looking at you, Casual Friday, I thought it was Cafe Disco at first glance.
Oh,
So I'm glad we had a disagreement here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah.
All right, moving on. Money, season 4, episode 7 versus Goodbye Michael, season 7, episode 22.
I took Money.
Of course you did. I'm taking Goodbye Michael.
I took Money.
Oh, yes,
Money.
Let's go, let's go.
I thought that was for sure going to win.
Niagara.
But I love Goodbye Michael.
Niagara, season 6, episodes 4 and 5 versus The Deposition, season 4, episode 12.
I have Niagara.
I have The Deposition. But
it is Niagara. All right.
Move ahead with a corny episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we've got, let's figure out.
Dinner Party versus Booze Cruise.
Are we going all the way to the final four?
That's how we're...
Okay,
let's we'll just
it.
Get to that.
Yeah, doing yeah. quadrants.
I think Dinner Party over Booze Cruise.
I took Dinner Party.
Dinner Party, obviously.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Money versus Niagara.
I took Money.
I would take Money over this.
Money.
Money over Niagara.
Money
let's
100%.
Go, baby. All right.
Money versus Dinner Party.
This was the one I was like, these should be in different regions, man.
These are your favorite episodes.
Dinner Party.
I took Money. Controversial.
I'm going to
take Money.
I took Money.
Oh my gosh. Terrible.
It should be Dinner Party.
What are you guys
I
doing?
I only took Money because I thought you'd take Dinner Party.
Get out of town.
No, I'm sorry. I love Money.
This is an upset.
I love Money.
Dinner? Well, I love Money too, but you don't have to make it.
I love Dinner Party.
I want to switch it now because it should be Dinner Party. I thought you were going to take Dinner Party.
Oh man.
No, this is where we're at. As
I must
show,
be true to okay. my heart.
Okay. Money is the first of our final four.
Okay. Moving
on. To be clear, if I had to pick one episode of anything, it's Dinner Party. But I just—it's
gone now.
Money's is the heartbeat for me.
Well,
all right,
then you know you got to vote.
Boy, people are gonna—you
got to vote that
people,
way.
People
then.
Are gonna hate us.
All right, I'm going to move across the board. The Alliance, season 1, episode 4 versus Product Recall.
Give me the Alliance.
Give me the Alliance all day long.
Whoa, I said Product Recall. Okay.
Product Recall is very, very good, but the Alliance product is recall. Such a key one for me.
Oh, yeah.
Personally.
Well, I'll call the Ungrateful Biatch Hotline. Did you get all that? Every word.
Chad Lie, Lighter Side of Life.
Okay. Sorry. The Alliance wins. Casino Night versus The Surplus.
Casino
it's
Night?
Gotta be Casino Night.
See, and I picked The Surplus.
Really? I'm so surprised.
You are drunk.
on power.
Okay.
Because he's writing these down.
Casino Night. The Dundies versus Business School.
It's got to be the Dundies.
I took the Dundies.
The Dundies. How can I explain it?
If you take Business School, I'm kicking you out.
I picked Dundies.
All right.
Threat Level Midnight versus The Job.
This one was really tough.
This is tough. I took The Job.
I took The Job as well.
Wow, really? I took Threat Level Midnight.
The Job is such an important episode.
It really is. I know. And Threat Level Midnight's great. It's like The Job feels structurally important to the show. Threat Level Midnight is a dessert.
It's a payoff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Alliance versus Casino Night.
Casino Night.
I took Casino.
What did you have?
I mean, these are none of my picks. So
okay,
I'll go Casino.
Go gut. Okay. Just go gut.
Yeah.
Dundies versus The Job.
I took The Dundies.
I took The Dundies.
I take The Dundies as well. Yeah. So Dundies. Dundies versus Casino Night.
It's got to be Casino Night.
I took Dundies.
I would take Dundies as
well. Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Y'all killing me. All right.
Dundies is...
I think The Dundies is one of the most incredible episodes of the show.
It's so good.
I do too.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Casino Night also, but Casino Night is about a moment, and The That's Dundies true. Is about the whole
That's kind of how I thought about
Casino
it.
Casino Night is kind of the moment.
of the first chapter of The Office.
Drug Testing, Season 2, Episode 20, versus Garage Sale, Season 7, Episode 19. Garage Sale, of course, was Holly and Michael getting engaged, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no thanks.
I took Garage Sale.
I took Drug Testing.
Drug Testing.
All right.
Drug Testing it is. Benihana Christmas versus Christmas Party.
I went back and forth on this so much.
I did too. I went Christmas Party.
Benihana.
I went Christmas Party.
Man.
we keep giving Sean the deciding vote.
it's just the order of who says it.
Yeah.
You know,
but murder, murder versus sexual harassment.
Murder.
I took murder.
Murder, absolutely.
I know you took murder.
Murder
is perhaps
my favorite episode, even though, well, I'll get to that. Injury versus fun run.
I had the injury.
I took fun run.
Injury. So injury it is. Drug Testing versus Christmas Party.
I didn't have either of these picks.
I'm gonna switch to Christmas Party.
I'll go Christmas Party.
Okay, I would have gone Drug Testing, but it's Christmas Party. Murder versus The Entry.
I had fun run going through, so
I will go with The Entry. So that's what I had.
Yeah,
I actually went with The Entry.
Oh, there it is.
Over murder.
It's.
I love The Entry.
It's a personal thing for murder, and mm-hmm. I had to think about everything in the episode. Anyways,
Stanley, what does this look like to you? Mailboxes, etc.
Christmas Party versus The Injury.
These were all off my board.
I had the injury.
It's The Injury.
Injury, yeah.
Making
a
deep
run.
Gotta
go Injury.
All right, last quadrant. Safety Training, Season 3, Episode 20, versus Broke, Season 5, Episode 25.
Give me Broke.
Give me Safety Training.
Broke.
Good.
It is Michael Scott Paper Company arc.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta have it. The finale.
Cool. Great.
The finale, Season 9, Episode 24, versus Branch Wars, Season 4, Episode 6.
Branch Wars.
I took Branch Wars.
Branch Wars, yeah, obviously. Obviously, Scott's Tots versus Diversity Day.
Tough one.
I went back and forth on
Tough
this one quite
one.
A bit. I think some folks out there really don't love Scott's Tots, so it might be easier. Diversity Day is such a classic. Where'd you guys go?
I want to hear what Alex thinks.
I said Scott's Tots.
Diversity Day.
I took Scott's Tots.
You did? But you just said Diversity Day just now.
Diversity Day is a classic. I have Scott's Tots written on my thing with Diversity
vote,
Day crossed out.
You're going to vote Scott's Tots?
I vote
yeah,
Scott's
that was
Tots.
The vote I had.
All right. I had Diversity Day, for sure.
One might argue Scott's Toss is the culmination of what Michael learned.
That is an upset, for sure.
Yes.
That is an upset,
it's
for
tough.
Sure.
It's
yeah.
tough. This one, that
I'm
is
not
going to
say.
This is a 12 over a 5.
Yeah, you're right. That's, yeah.
Pool Party, Season 8, Episode 12, versus Stress Relief, Season 5, Episode 14, 15.
Stress Relief.
Stress Relief.
Obvious.
This was a 1 versus 16.
Yeah, this was the Pool Party was the play-in.
Pool Party, I was kind of like, they were reaching.
One shining moment, yeah.
The finale is the only Season 9 episode that should be on here.
The finale is the team with like a lot of veterans, like a lot of seniors.
Yeah.
They're just always in, but they never win. You're just like, what?
Broke versus Branch Wars.
I want Branch Wars.
I didn't know. Oh, I would have taken Branch Wars. Oh, I probably would have taken Broke.
I took Branch Wars.
Branch Wars it is.
Love it.
Let's do it. Branch Wars Although it that is. That's a tough one for me. Mm-hmm.
Broke. Boy, the Southeast also, bracket
again.
Yeah.
Michael Scott Paper
Don't forget
Company.
The final Finer Things Club and Branch Wars. That's
Oh, yeah, I know. So good. I cut off a chunk of my penis for nothing.
Or real bombs.
Scott's Tots versus Stress Relief.
Stress Relief.
Stress Relief. Yeah, and it's Branch Wars versus Stress Relief. Come on.
I'm also taking Stress Relief.
Just sticking with Stress.
All right, so Sean, what is our final four at this stage?
You guys, what we have now is Money versus Injury and Dundee's versus Stress Relief.
Whoa. I can't believe Dinner Party's not in there. And I take responsibility for it. Yeah, that man. I didn't think that was going to happen. I wrote down Money like, I just want to give it props. No way it could beat. But
it's not your fault. The Asabuco needs to braise for like 4 to 6.
I understand.
This is oddly enough my exact final four.
Really?
Yep.
No way.
We didn't get here the same
My final
way,
four
but...
was Money, Dundee's, Stress Relief, Fun Run.
My final four is Dinner Party, Casino Night, The Injury, Stress Relief.
Wow.
That's also a perfect final four.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Money versus The Injury. Where are we going to go?
Oh, man. This is difficult. I'll take The Injury.
Alex.
I mean, Money's my dark horse.
Mm-hmm.
Money is my CJ McCollum on Lehigh. I'm taking Money.
I went with The Injury.
Whoa, nice. Okay. Nice. All right. So The Injury, surprise
injury
finalist.
Now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's go Butler Bulldogs. Yeah.
Now Dundee's versus Stress Relief.
Ooh. I will go Stress Relief.
My gut says Stress Relief because it's a two-parter.
Stress Relief is also where I went.
Okay.
So we are now in the finals. Injury versus Stress Relief.
Man.
I got to go Stress Relief. That's my gut call.
I would also go Stress Relief.
Okay, we're going Stress
there
Relief.
There it is.
Would you have said The Injury or Stress Relief?
The Injury is my...
Is your winner.
That's your
is
champ.
My winner nice. On my bracket. Yeah.
Nice.
But I am perfectly happy with Stress Relief being our winner. That makes perfect sense. That was really fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah, so if everybody at home... some people have already started to send us your brackets.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for sending those. I think, I don't know if we can share them, but maybe...
Look, if you took Dinner Party to the championship, we understand. It's a safe pick, but it's a boring pick. Everyone's going to do that, you know? It's like,
if you picked Pool Party, great. Like, get out of here.
Do you guys want to share what your final winners were?
Mine was Injury. What was...
I had Money versus Dundee's in the finals. I took Money.
Nice. I had Dinner Party versus Casino Night in the finals.
Wow.
And I'm taking Casino Night.
Wow.
I feel a lot like Ryan voting for Oscar. Gotta mix it up.
Mix it up. Casino Night is a masterpiece.
I think Stress Relief is objectively probably the strongest episode in the show.
Totally.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, Duke or whatever always loses to Michigan State or something like that.
The injury, once it won on my bracket, I went back and watched it and I was just like, this is just such a perfect office episode. There's something very cozy about it. It all happens in the office. I mean, besides Dwight being different, acting differently. Because
you mean
he
concussed.
Concussed. Thank you.
Being different.
Just like that he's different than his normal character. Besides that, it's almost like a perfect office episode. Michael is being childish and stupid and dramatic and needy, inappropriate.
All the things we love about Michael.
There's a lot of physical comedy that's great in this. Uh-huh. I just thought it had everything, and it's in its early season. It's early in the show too.
Wait, I have Country Crock.
yeah. I need you to rub butter on my foot.
Ryan, who's supposed to be dead.
Yeah. The gas station in Carbondale did not have fresh yams.
Really? Because they always have yams.
Yeah, that was really fun. Everybody at home, please send us your brackets. We just love looking at them. And
it's fun to think of this, too, as like a competition where you have upsets and
I know.
Stronger episodes versus weaker episodes, and not just necessarily picking your favorite. I mean, obviously, that's part of it, but, you know, it's just fun to kind of think of it in that regard.
And just like March Madness, I was like emotionally connected to some episodes.
One shining moment for these for the injury.
Time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, gentlemen, this trivia, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, comes from the other Edwin, who has sent us messages. He did our fan-prepared trivia before, and he sent us another one. I think he was, you know, a greenhorn. He went to battle. He saw the realities of it, had to go back, reloaded, and here he is again.
I don't know, this is going to be hard. I'm a little nervous about this one.
He sent this in. He says, Two Janes Productions presents Janes. a Janes Gang joint. Edwin Proof Trivia, The Fall of Dixon City Janes.
Jeez, okay. Whoa. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Question one. What is the opening to Bullfrog and Love before the instruments join in with music, the lyrics?
Croak, 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 bullfrog in love. That.
Before the instruments.
Oh. I'll be your croak madame. You be my croak monsieur.
That's what I thought it was. But he says, stars in her eyes, tongue full of lives. Would you like to share my path?
Oh, yeah.
And then he starts singing.
Oh, that's right.
Sure. Yeah. Would you like to share my path?
Yes.
Yeah.
Question number two. In the seminar, after Andy introduces himself to the group, a woman responds with a greeting in return. What is her name?
Hi, Nardog. I'm Lou Peachum.
Yes, correct.
Wow.
Question three. What's the issue in Kelly's room that she's telling Jim about when she moves to the annex during the carpet? The first scene they use to show how annoyed Jim is sitting back there.
Wait, the question is...
So there's an issue with Kelly's room that she's complaining about. This is when Jim first moves back to the annex.
Can you turn down the music just a little bit? It's... All right.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Turn it way
down. Very... It's different. It's what's the question again?
What's the issue in Kelly's room that she's telling Jim about when Jim first moves into the annex during the carpet? Complaining to Jim about something.
I don't know, something about a window?
Her closet doors won't shut.
Oh.
Yes. Mm. Question four, Dwight mentions that garbage the cat has proven useful by doing what?
Eating garbage?
No, killing a family of raccoons. Oh, you're killing a family of raccoons?
No, I was going to say rats.
Close. Question five. How many places did Michael and Dwight plan on taking gift baskets? As in, how many gift baskets did they prepare and bring?
Somewhere between four and six.
Seven. Kelly mentions she's having trouble going to bed during the carpet due to back problems. Mm-hmm. What time does she say she tries to go to bed every night? These are impossible.
It's like 9:30.
It's 9:30, correct.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
On the nose.
All right.
He's coming back. Here he goes. Yeah. Question seven. In the duel, Michael asks, how so, in response to Angela, into finding out Angela is crazy in bed. What are Dwight's answers?
No, she's wonderful. Or something like that, no.
No, and this is when Michael's like, how is she in bed? And Dwight doesn't want to say, and then he kind of side looks.
Oh, and then he says, what
are
you
eager and flexible.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What are Michael and Pam's ages during Michael Scott Paper Company?
Pam is 26.
No.
27?
No. Michael is 44.
Okay.
Pam is 30.
30, okay.
What is the address to Jim's house? Jim and Pam's house.
Oh, gosh. No.
Oh, my God, I know it. Oh, shoot.
Linden
Ave.
Yes. Yes.
No.
I know you know this.
Like 743.
Close, 383, okay. Linden Ave.
Yeah.
Linden Ave. Final question. Mm-hmm. In the picture of Michael and Ed Truck from the newsletter way back in the day, what part of the outfit is Michael matching with his tie?
What part of Michael's own outfit is he matching
with
his tie?
Does he match with his tie? It's a notable item he's wearing in that picture.
It's like a belt or something? He's only wearing like a short sleeve dress shirt or something
like
that.
It's like a belt.
Oh, suspenders?
A belt you can carry things in.
fanny pack?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
That matches his fanny pack with his tie.
That's good. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much for sending
that.
Thank
you, other Edwin.
You know, I think the only way to resolve this is you must prepare some trivia for this,
Edwin.
I have
to make trivia.
We're going to call this Edwin for a show later on, and he's going to do trivia.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah. I think that's what we got to do. But yeah, thank you for that.
No, Edwin. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that is
great,
man.
It's all fun, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, other Edwin. And thank you, everyone, for all the things that you guys send us. We're going to do a mailbag soon. Thank you for all the questions and comments that you send us. Mm-hmm. It means so much. And you can call us and leave us a message, 503-694-9314. We have an email address, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company, and we're on Twitter, @MichaelScottPod. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs all our artwork. And we recorded this episode at the Ward Brother Residence in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Ping. And I'm here to say goodbye to all you wonderful people. Thank you, everybody. You've been so wonderful.
Thank you. Poppy, give me this up.
Yes, sir.
We'll be all right, sons and daughters. We'll make our homes on the water. We'll build our walls.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.